Hallelujah to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, lift your hands to heaven. Yes, it's a good night to die. Only you, Master. Only you. For you alone are holy. You alone are worthy. And you deserve all the glory, honor, and praise. And we come into your presence in thanksgiving and praise of who you are, what you've done, and what you're going to do. We thank you, Lord, that you rescued us. And we ask for your forgiveness of every stupid thing we've done that's offended you. We repent for every sin, transgression, and iniquity, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Lord, we repent for touching unclean things. We repent for being rebellious to your word. We repent for not submitting. We ask for the washing of the blood and the purging of your presence. As we welcome the Holy Spirit in here, come, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Come, take your rightful place in our spirit, soul, and body, in our minds, hearts, and will, and emotions. Take your rightful place. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our heart to receive what you have to tell us tonight. As I send forth your word to each and every one in this room, that by the stripes of Jesus, they be made whole. I pray tonight, Lord, that their faith will be increased, that revelation be imparted, and that every hardened heart will be broke. Yes, bring the mirror before each and every one of us tonight, Lord, that we can deny ourselves and remove those things that offend you, that we can be more and more in your image and likeness, giving glory to your name, expanding your kingdom, and exalting your presence. Because without your presence, we're nothing. 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 So let the anointing break every yoke of bondage and free your people tonight, Papa. Free your people in every area. Free your people from the torment of the mind, from the guilt of condemnation. Free your people in every area from the bondage and entanglements and affairs of this world. Set them free from the matrix. Yes. Set them free from the blinders. And we thank you, Father. And we promise to give you all our glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said what? Amen. Hallelujah. Good evening. How's everybody? Are you blessed and highly flavored? Good. Turn to 2 Chronicles 15. 2 Chronicles 15. God is good. All the time. Man. 2 Chronicles 15. Hallelujah. Grace like rain. Grace is like rain, isn't it? Hey, man, there's nothing greater than the presence of God. How many of y'all addicted? I am. I'm addicted to Jesus. I'm addicted to his presence. I've been free from every other ungodly addiction, but now I'm free in the spirit where I'm addicted to the presence of God. I can't live without him. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. How can you taste unless you're in his presence? Glory. Ooh, it's a good night to die. All right, I say, oh, yeah, 15. Hallelujah. If I disappear, I'll be back. God willing. Whew, go ahead, lift your hands to heaven and get a drink. You know, you can't get the word without being drunk. You know, it's amazing. Well, the Bible commands us to be drunk in the Spirit. And he says, be not drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. But be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's amazing and how many things out there that the world tries to offer us to be drunk or delusionized or feel good. They got medication for everything. Medication to feel good. Medication to look good. don't have medication to get home, I'll tell you that. That's only by Jesus, amen? I mean, you can go at every corner and they got something to offer you. But I got something to offer them. And it ain't in a baggie. And it ain't in a pill form. You know, it's amazing because statistically, the number one killer in this country is prescription medication. The number two killer is the doctor. They got to be careful, you know. They might get charged with murder. In fact, some of them are. But it's amazing how people run to the doctor to get a prescription. Yes! But they won't run to the throne room to get free. Then they play religion. See, there's a difference between managing your stuff and being free from it. Now, if you want to go manage it, you go to the 12-step program and they teach you how to manage. But if you want to be free, you go to the throne room. And you stay there till you die and resurrected. Hello. Where you walk out free. Now, freedom is learned. And trust is earned. So freedom is learned because the area of that we grab truth, which is light, and it exposes darkness. And see, those little roaches don't like to hang around the light. See, demon's nothing but a roach. Man, did you ever go into a place and turn on a light? Woo! I mean, I've gone into some wretched buildings. I've turned on the light, and man, they had to put all the cards away, all the dice, everything. Those little roaches were playing every kind of game you can imagine. And it's the same thing in the spirit realm. Man, when the truth comes and that light's exposed, that demon don't know what to do. It tries to hide itself behind your liver, you know, your kidney, whatever. And that's where you have to go through freedom, through deliverance, and get rid of them. I mean, you know, the worst thing that we can be in when we're in the world is torment. Torment is the worst place that we can be in. You can go to a gazillion Bible studies and go to all kinds of stuff and still be tormented because you've not allowed God to really set you free. Freedom is learned and it comes by obedience. And that is the ultimate essence of a believer, is to become obedient no matter what. That's it. See, the closer you are to God, the more obedient you become. There are people out there saying, I've been a believer for 45 years. And they still don't know the voice of the Lord yet. Their purpose is to keep the pew warm. And they've lost their eternal purpose in the area that there's more. There's more than salvation. How many of y'all know there's more than salvation? There's a lot more than salvation. That's the first little baby step. Salvation. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay, now work it out. Why? Because then you'll lose it. It's amazing how many people exchange their salvation for the world, for a pill, for a one-night stand, for a feeling. They exchange their salvation. See, that's called bribery. And when the devil can convince you to make the exchange, blinders come back on and you can't see. I don't know why I'm talking about all this, but God's got a plan. Is everybody okay? All right, let's go to 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 1. Hallelujah. Would you read it with me? Now, everybody, read it with me. Come on, this is one happy family, aren't we? Praise God. Now, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. Does everybody hear that? The Lord is with you while you are with him. That is actually a spiritual law. We'll talk about that later. The Bible says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. So the Lord is with you while you're with him. Ooh. And now check this out. The Lord is with you while you're with him. Now look at this. If you what? Seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. It's amazing that sometimes many people only seek God when they're in trouble. Well, if that's how it has to begin, so be it. But don't stop there. Seek him now that you're not in trouble. And you'll find great riches in the Spirit. Is everybody with me? In verse 5. And in those times there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in, but great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the lands. So nation was destroyed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. But you, be strong, and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be what? Rewarded. In other words, in this word of work, it means your obedience shall be rewarded. Does everybody see that? Is everybody okay? Praise God. Let's go a little further, because this is good stuff. Let's go. Verse 8. And when Asa heard these words in the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim. And he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. Then he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those who dwelt with them from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon, for they came over to him in great numbers from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. That the Lord his God was what? Was with him. So they gathered together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered to the Lord at that time 700 bulls and 7,000 sheep from the spoil they had brought. Then they entered into a what? Covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all of their soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be what? Put to what? Put to death. Whether small or great, whether man or woman. Now, that's a covenant. You know, I don't think there were too many that weren't seeking the Lord at that time. You know, can you imagine if that decree went out right now? There'd be a lot of dead people in the church. Because judgment comes in the church first. All those that are just associated with religiosity would be killed because they don't seek God. Are you listening? Verse 14. Then they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpets and ram's horns, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all of their heart and sought him with all of their soul, and he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. Oh, hallelujah. See, that's called walking in the peace of God. Now, there's something that's important that we were talking about in our last gathering, and that was about leaving a memorial to the Lord. And what you do is going to leave a memorial to the Lord, isn't it? It'll be either a memorial to God or a memorial to the devil. See, they were already leaving a memorial to the devil because of their disobedience. Why? Because they would not seek the Lord with all of their heart. And when they did, they found him. Why? Now listen. And then things began to prosper. Rest and peace came. They didn't have war. And they realized what was going on. And they continued to seek the Lord with all of their heart, with all of their soul, all of their mind, and all of their will. In other words, they were submitting to God. See, when you submit to God in this arena, God begins to move on your behalf. And on this, it is powerful because he wants me and you to have a legacy. Do you know that the Bible has your name in it? Now, you may think that there's only so many chapters, but there's many. There's a book for each and every believer that's extended all the way through. Daddy's got a big book upstairs. And everybody's name is written in the book of life. And everybody's name that's written in the book of life, there's also a book of remembrance. And in this, there is your whole life in there that is recorded forever. And it's to bring glory to God. But I'm sharing with you that you want to leave a testimony. You want to leave a memorial to whether you're at work, whether you're at play, whether you're going to the store. Wherever you are, people are looking at you. And they don't even know why they're looking at you. But they are. And eventually somebody will come up to you and say, hey, man, there's something about you. I don't get this, but whatever. And you just say, hey, how you doing? I'm a believer. I'm one of the king's kids. You might have seen this on TV a couple times. But we are offsprings of the anointed one and his anointing. And the whole purpose is wherever you go, you can leave an impression. And that is a memorial to somebody. But there's something important. You must learn how to not only walk in the Spirit, but live in the Spirit. You must not only learn how to walk in the Spirit, but live in the Spirit. And that's where peace, joy, and righteousness and the Holy Ghost is manifested. That's where God's kingdom is manifested, in the Spirit. That's where freedom is. And there's two things that we were talking about that this must be established by. And it's established by discipline and obedience. What's the two things it's established by? Discipline and obedience. Let's go a little further. Galatians 5. So when the Israelites chose to seek God with all of their heart and all of their soul, what happened? They found him. Wow. They found him. It didn't say they found him in the book. They said they found him. Are you listening? It wasn't something they read. It was someone they sought. It wasn't something they read. It was someone they sought. And they found him. And when they found him and touched his heart, he released something to them. And that was his presence. Glory. And Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Would you read it with me? I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why? Because the flesh, walking in the flesh, leaves a legacy or a memorial unto Satan. But walking in the Spirit leaves a memorial unto the Lord, where he gets all the glory. No matter what it is. I don't care if you're a professional tennis player. I don't care if you're a baseball player. I don't care what you are. I don't care if you're the maintenance person and you do nothing but clean toilets and mop floors. You can leave a memorial wherever you are. It doesn't matter. See, the whole thing is everybody has been gifted with something to do so that you can leave a memorial wherever you are. So, there should be all over the place things that are giving glory to God. Man, you know that person really, you know, there are people sometimes, you know, somebody, the boss or whatever will say, man, you know that person, I gave them the most dirtiest job there is just to check them out. And let me tell you, that person, there isn't anything I can give that person to make that person miserable. I've tried to make that person miserable. And no matter what happens, that person is always joyful. From cleaning toilets to moving sawdust to doing whatever. You don't think that's going to leave an impression to your boss? See, that's why you count it all joy. You labor unto the Lord no matter where you are or what you're doing. You give God all the glory. Hey, man, it was real nice. To God be the glory. You're leaving a memorial. Now, is grumbling, complaining leaving a good memorial to the Lord? No. Not at all. No. Hallelujah. Go to verse 24. And it says, and those who are what? Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. See, so as a believer, life is to walk and live in the Spirit. And again, it takes two things, discipline and what else? Obedience. Turn to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9, 24. Is everybody there? Let's hit it. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Ooh. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus, I fight, not as one who beats the air. Does everybody see this? In other words, he's pressing in. He's fighting to do the good thing. He said, I mean, I don't fight just, you know, hitting the air or nothing, man. But I what? Discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest what? When I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So he disciplines himself. He disciplines himself in the area where it's keeping him on path. Everyone say discipline puts me on path, keeps me on path, and leads me to the place where God can change me. See, the path doesn't change you. So discipline is to keep you on the path. That's why there's prayers given out. We have deliverance and healing prayers and certain prayers. There, you know, God wants to maintain us. In other words, there are certain things that's given to you so that when you get up in the morning, you pray. That's called discipline. Because when you were and I were in the flesh, the first thing we wanted to do was go eat some flesh. When we got up or whatever. See, but if you're an individual that gets up and goes and prays first before he feeds his flesh, that's called discipline. Because the Bible says, seek ye the kingdom of God first, and then all things will be added to you. So it takes discipline to pray every day, doesn't it? It takes discipline to come to Bible study. It takes discipline. And that's maintaining the path. So discipline is used to guide. These are called spiritual disciplines, which allow us and brings us to a place where God can transform us more into his image and likeness. See, when people are not disciplined, they don't finish things. You must be disciplined to live and walk in the Spirit. You must be disciplined or else you stray. Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. See, there is rewards for all of this too. An individual who maintains discipline will be rewarded. Why? Because God will bring you to the place where he can change you. He can also bring you to the place where he can bless you. Proverbs 15. Let's start at verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is in what? An abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Do you know that God is delighted? He waits for you every day. When you get up in the morning, he waits for you. He's all excited. I'm telling you, he's all excited. He's like, oh, there's one of my kids. I see him. I see him. Oh, he's calling on me. Oh. And he just wants to run to you and squeeze you to death. Hallelujah. Yeah, my daddy waits for me every morning when I get up. You know, when I, come on. Come on. He's all excited when you get up in the morning. Man, he just wants you to run to him. Good morning. See, you say, good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Jesus. Thanks for another day of breath. And then you go, dive into his presence. You don't go to the phone. You go to the throne. Now, if you're passing a cup of coffee, there's no problem with picking it up and bringing it with you. He doesn't mind that. He don't mind sitting down having coffee with you or tea or whatever. You know. But the food, no. You don't bring the food in the throne room, okay? You can bring a drink, but no food in the throne room. In verse 9, it says, the way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who follows righteousness. I'm telling you, he's looking for you every morning. Harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die. Yeesh. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. So how much more the hearts of the sons of men? So you see here that there's harsh discipline for someone who, what? Forsakes the way. Why have they fallen out of the path? That's why you and I are corrected. We are chastened by the Lord. He corrects us. He says, come on, get back in there. Chop, chop. You know? So if you feel a slap in the head or a spank, oh, that's Dad getting you back in place. Come on, get on that path. That's discipline. Discipline maintains you on that path. You must be disciplined no matter what. See, discipline has nothing to do with how you feel, how you think, or what you believe. He says, here it is, do it. It's a do-it situation. And as you do it, what he does, he brings you to a place where he reveals himself to you. As long as you stay disciplined. You know, we can't change ourselves. Even when if you cry out, oh Lord, change me. He says, okay, follow the path. But I need to be changed now. No. You got to follow the path. See, discipline can only get us to the place where something can be done. And when we submit to his spirit, remember that the path does not produce any change. But it brings you to the place where you can change. Does everybody get it? That's why you must be disciplined. Discipline is essential in spiritual growth. Everyone say discipline. Purpose is spiritual growth. Disciplines, purpose is spiritual growth. Now, discipline doesn't need spiritual growth. You and I do. So God disciplines us. We must be disciplined so we maintain on the path. If people could really get this, if you could see this little path thing going here, and then all of a sudden you're being disciplined in this path, you're staying in the path, and all of a sudden God does, bam, something. See, he's bringing you to the place where he's going to change you. But you first must be disciplined. That's why too many people don't get what they want or whatever. They got to go around the mountain 1,600 times because they don't stay disciplined and focused. They quit before God can do anything. And see, you must be disciplined in prayer, and you must be disciplined to wait. You must be what? Disciplined to what? Wait on God. Oh, God didn't hear my prayer. Yes, he did. Foolish flesh creature. He's just trying to get you to a place where you stop your grumbling. See, sometimes, you know, God will do this. You'll ask for something. You know you need it badly. You need it. And he knows you need it. And he says, I got it right here. I got it right here. Now just come on. Keep coming. Stay disciplined. And then a person gives up, starts grumbling, complaining. Oh, man, the Lord, you know, he didn't. And then they get off path, and the Lord had it waiting for them. The whole thing is they weren't willing to fight. See, you got to fight. You can't be a wimp. You got to fight. We fought for the drugs. We fought for the sex. We fought for everything else, for the money. Now you fight for God's presence, and you stay disciplined or die. One or the other. And as you stay disciplined and God meets you at this place to change you, obedience becomes manifested. See, because then you'll learn obedience. And then you'll want to obey because you get closer to him. See, your level of obedience determines your relationship with him. Your level of obedience determines your relationship with him. So when he says, you do. No matter what it is, no matter what it takes, it doesn't matter whether you like it or not. And you don't have to understand it all. Hello? Your relationship with the Lord is not on a need-to-know basis. Your relationship with the Lord is on an obedience basis. Because he knows what's better for you than you and I do. Is everybody okay? Go to Zechariah 4. Well, I want to know why the Lord's doing this. Oh, shut up. Zechariah 4:4. Is everybody there? Zechariah 4, verse 4. So I answered and I spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No, my Lord." And so he answered and he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." It's not by what? Might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I love this. "Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain. And he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Not by might, not by, nor by power, but by my spirit." In other words, it's not by man's willpower. It's not by man's physical strength. But it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Does everybody understand it? See, so discipline is going to take you to that place where the anointing and the power of God will begin to take over. Hello, does everybody see this? Discipline will get you to the place where now the anointing and the power of God will begin to take over. Now, Zerubbabel was a descendant of King David. In fact, Zerubbabel was called to rebuild the temple. You know what we are? Temples. So it's not by your willpower or by your physical strength that's going to rebuild you. It's going to be by the Holy Spirit. So discipline is always going to get you to that place where God can do something with you. Change you. Galatians 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Everybody there? In verse 6. Let's read it together. "Let him who taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches." Do not be what? Say it again. Do not be? Say it again. Do not be what? I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. Do not be what? Deceived. Say it one more time, okay? Do not be deceived. You better say it one more time. Do not be deceived. One more, okay? Do not be deceived. One more time. Do not be deceived. Okay, everybody can go home. No. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Don't get deceived. Stop it. God's not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also what? Reap. Don't be deceived. Whatever you sow, you reap. See, discipline will bring you to a place of sowing in the Spirit. Watch. For he who sows to his flesh will what? Will reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will the Spirit reap what? Everlasting life. See, so discipline is going to cause you to sow in the Spirit. And then going to bring you to a place where God is going to release something because you're reaping it. Are you listening? Now, if you get off course and you start sowing in the flesh, the devil's going to bring you to a place. And you're going to reap it. Or the devil's going to have access to steal, kill, and destroy something God blessed you with. Like move you out of position. Discipline is the path that brings us to the place of sowing in the Spirit. And by sowing in the Spirit, we learn obedience. Are you listening? Why? Because it's the Spirit that teaches you obedience. Come on. Are you listening? It brings that relationship with you. Again, the closer you are to the Lord, the more He is real to you, the more you are obedient to God. You know why? Because you carry reverence to Him. You do not want to offend Him. You don't want to disobey anything He's telling you to do. It's amazing how many people keep telling me, yeah, I've been walking with the Lord for a gazillion years. While they're sitting there huffing a cigarette, having a beer in their hand. Yeah, I love Jesus. You do? Looks like you love that cigarette and that beer instead, brother. See, because if you really love Him, you'll obey Him. And by obeying Him, you'll be free. You won't have to manage no more garbage. You don't have to manage those demons no more. You are free. Because see, the Bible says this, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom. Oh, glory. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. So how many of y'all want to be disciplined? Amen. Where's it going to lead you? To a place where God's going to what? Change you. Psalm 119. Start at verse 1. Blessed are the what? Oh, now how did they get undefiled? They were what? Disciplined. See, there's a price to pay for everything. And discipline is a price that you and I must pay. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. Oh, what's the way? The path. See, so they're maintaining discipline in that path, aren't they? See, God brings you, as you're disciplined in the path, then He starts setting steps up. And He gives you things to do. And as you're faithful with those things, He sets another level. And you hang out in that level and maintain it. And as you maintain that, then He sets up another set of stairs to give you to do. And if you're disciplined and you maintain that, see, that allows you to get closer to Him and get deeper in the things of Him. You got to understand something. He just doesn't let go of things. You know, people are looking for the deep things of God. Well, the only way that you're going to get the deep things of God is to be disciplined and be faithful. And only He can bring you to the deep things of God. You and I can't. Only He can. Praise God. In verse 2, it says what? Oh, let's start with verse 1 again. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. Does that take discipline? Yes. They also do no iniquity. They have what? They walk in His ways. You have commanded us to keep Your precepts what? Diligently. That's being disciplined, isn't it? Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all of Your commandments. I will praise You with uprightness of heart when I learn Your righteous judgments, and I will keep Your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. Bless who keep His testimonies. Stay on path by discipline. Now, in the Old Testament, the law was known as the tutor. The law was known as the tutor. In the New Testament, the Spirit is known as the mentor. See, so the law was actually an area where we were being taught discipline. It's like a set of fences on each side. As you're disciplined, you stay in the fences. There's the guidelines. That's what the law was. Why? Because it's always going to lead you to a place where God can change you. As long as you don't kick down the fence, as long as you don't hop it, hello? As long as you stay disciplined. Now, if you do it, if you hop the fence, you kick down the fence, you go off stray. Now you're sowing in the flesh, and you must reap what you sowed. Even when you repent, you still reap. But the quicker you repent, the less you reap. See, but God can turn the reaping into good, can't He? I get a lot of guys in my class in jail. They're reaping, but He's turning it into the good. Some of them can't even get out on a $50 bond, you know? Or a $100 bond. They got to stay there. And God is causing them to listen to his word. Causing them. Why? Because he loves us unconditionally. Come on, how many times have, you know, when you and I were out in the world and things were struggling and all of a sudden, you know, some car drives by and it's this big tractor trailer and it says, Jesus loves you. Like he was trying to get you a message. Or you looked up in the sky and it says, Jesus loves you. Or somebody you ran across your path and said something about Jesus. I remember when people used to come across my path and they say, man, you need to turn to Jesus. I said, man, everybody turns to Jesus from drugs. And then I did. He's the only one who didn't shut the door on me. You kid, when they saw me coming, they locked up everything. Hallelujah. Glory. Is everybody okay? Psalm 143. Psalm 143. And verse 7. Is everybody there? Let's read it, please. Answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. Ooh, what does he say? Cause. You know what cause means? Discipline me. Cause me. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the, where? In the morning. Hallelujah. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. For in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk. For I lift up my soul to you. See, just by that simple words, Lord, cause me. What's he going to do? He's going to cause you. Well, I don't know how he's going to do it. Who cares? As long as he causes you to walk in the right way. See, he'll begin to shut doors, all kinds of stuff. I remember one time my wife and I were praying and we were traveling. And I said, Lord, please shut the door that's not of you and open a door that is of you. And we went to go check into this hotel while we were traveling. And I just got done praying it in the parking lot. She comes out with the keys. We go up to the stairs. We put the keys in the door. And it spun. We couldn't get in the room. And we both looked at each other and said, yes, we can't. All right, we're out of here. And we pulled a key out, got our money back, and went down the road, went into another place, prayed the same prayer. And when we got in there, that door opened, and man, was that room nice. See, he wanted us to have the best, not just the good. He wants you to have the best, but see, you're not going to get that unless you're living and walking in the Spirit. Oh, look at this, verse 9, watch this. Deliver me, O Lord, from my what? Enemies. In you I take shelter. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. In your mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant. What a wonderful prayer. In other words, kick butt on those who try to get me, Dad. You know, did you ever see somebody with a bigger brother? You know how they, you know, the smaller one will go out and entice other people? Yo, jerk. You know, something bad to somebody. And the dude will come over and say, what you doing, man? Hey, you want to mess with me? You mess with my brother. See, that's how Jesus is with us. Not that you're going to go out and entice somebody. Are you listening? It's the demons and so forth. Because Jesus is going to let your butt get kicked if you do something stupid. And he'll wait for you to say, forgive me. You have to repent, and then he'll come and rescue you and heal you. But who wants to go through all that suffering? Jeremiah 42. Jeremiah 42, verse 5. So they said to Jeremiah, let the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us. If we do not do according to everything which the Lord your God sends us by you, whether it is pleasing or displeasing, we will what? Obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send you, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. See, they were going to obey the voice no matter whether it was pleasing or displeasing. And that's where you and I got to be. See, as you ask him to cause you to be disciplined, he's going to lead you to the place where change is going to come. In this area of change, you're going to, because you want to please him now more and more, you're going to want to be obedient no matter what. It doesn't matter. Why? Because you just got revelation that by being disciplined got you to one place. If being disciplined got you to one place, guess what? Being disciplined is going to get you to another. Go to Ezekiel. I love Ezekiel. 36. Ezekiel 36. Cause me, Lord. Cause me to be disciplined. Ezekiel 36. Is everybody there? And verse 23. Would you read it with me? And I will sanctify my great name, which has been what? Profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am what? Hallowed in you before their eyes. Ah. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean, and I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put what? My spirit within you, and what? Cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. So now you have the Holy Spirit that is causing you to be disciplined. Are you listening? But you must ask, Lord, cause me. Now watch this, because you were disciplined. Right? He brought you to a place of change. And now that place of change is bringing you to a place of obedience. Then he says this. Then you will dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all of your uncleanliness and I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. I will multiply the fruit of your trees and increase of your fields, so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. That's called prosperity, isn't it? That's called blessing. That's called what? Blessing. Praise God. Go to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy. You know, if there's a blessing, there's a what also? A curse. So blessing comes through obedience, and curse comes through disobedience. And guess who wants to curse you? Satan's kingdom. That's why they want you to sow in the flesh. Then you become a flesh creature. Deuteronomy 28 in verse 1. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently what? Obey the voice of the Lord your God. Obey what? The voice. How many of you know God can speak? Good. Obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all of his commandments. Hello. Which I command you today. So he wants us not only to obey what is written, but he wants us to obey what is spoken. That the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. Hallelujah. That's blessing, isn't it? And all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. How many of y'all want to be overtaken by a blessing? Well, you got to start with discipline. Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed you shall be in the city and blessed you shall be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your ground and the increase of your herds. The increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. Come on now, these are the blessings of God. You had to be disciplined to get to that place. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. I love it. The Lord will command a blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself. Just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Now, walking in his ways means discipline. Keeping his commands is obedience. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Is that leaving a memorial? Yeah. Yeah. What are you leaving behind? What legacy? One bringing glory to God, or one bringing glory to the devil? And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods and the fruit of your body and the increase of your livestock. I'm not telling you to go out and buy cattle or goats or whatever, you know. That was then, amen. Not that if you don't have cattle, they can't increase, you know. And in the produce of your ground and in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you, the Lord will open to you his good treasures of heaven. Ooh, that's revelation. To give the rain to your land in the season and bless all the work of your hand, you shall lend it to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. Praise God. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you today, and are careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right or to the left to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord God to observe carefully all of his commandments and his statutes which I command you today that these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed you shall be in the city and cursed you'll be in the country. Curse your basket and your kneading bowl. Curse shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and offspring of your flocks. Curse shall be when you come in and curse shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do. Do you know that confusion is brought on by a curse? Until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption. With what? Fever. See, all of these things are curses. With inflammation. With severe burning fever. With the sword, with scorching, and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. See, all of these things we just take for granted, but those are curses that have been come into the world. And your heavens, which are over your head, shall be bronze, and the earth, which is under you, shall be iron. The Lord will change the rain of your land to powder and dust from the heaven. It shall come down, and you on you until you are destroyed. Does everybody see this? I'm not going to go through all of this. But one of the things you don't want to do is have a curse. A curse is a legal right for a demon or powers of darkness to access you to steal, kill, and destroy. Are you listening? To what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Let's go to Romans 5. Romans chapter 5. So obedience is the essence of life in the Spirit and an intimate relationship with the Lord. It is the ultimate essence of a believer is to become obedient, no matter what. Obedience is everything. See, obedience will allow you to know that you're walking in the Spirit, that you're living in the Spirit. Actually, obedience is one of the fruits of it. You're submitting. You're obedient. When he says it, you do it. In every area. Obedience. In Romans chapter 5, is everybody there? Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Are you blessed? Praise God. Blessed better than cursed. Amen. In Romans chapter 5, and I believe it's verse 19. Oh, check this out, man. It says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Whose disobedience was it? Adam. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made what? Righteous. So by Jesus' obedience, you and I had an opportunity to become righteous in Christ. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abound, grace abound much more now. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to the eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we see here that obedience of Christ has made me and you free. It's his righteousness. Now your obedience, your obedience is going to maintain your freedom and is going to also assist in others by your example. So everybody see that? Because it will leave a memorial. Go to Romans 6 while we're here. In verse 16. 6:16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey? Whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to what? Righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were what? Delivered. So their obedience set them free, didn't it? Does everybody see that? And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Now you're a slave of righteousness. Why? Because you're obedient. Does everybody see that? For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to what? Holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. See, so as we obey his voice, he says, I'll be your God. Obedience is the ultimate for every believer to achieve. It is the essence of life in the Spirit. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. How you learning? It's better than burning, amen? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Let's read this together. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. The loins of your what? Your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As what? Obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Obedient children. Praise God. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Oh, it's good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. Is everybody there in verse 5? Let this mind be in you which was also in who? Christ Jesus. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking a form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he what? Humbled himself and became what? Obedient to the point of death, even the cross, even to the death of the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and to the glory of God the Father. Go to Matthew 21 for a moment. Obedient unto what? Death. Oh, I'm sorry, Matthew 7. I got quickened by the Spirit. That ain't it. Okay. It's not Matthew 21. Okay. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who what? Does the will of my Father in heaven. So not everyone's going to get in that says, Lord, Lord. Only those who what? Do his will. Now, does his will take obedience? Yes. Yeah. And how did it start with what? Discipline. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice what? Lawlessness. You know what they did? They drifted. They drifted and lost their first love. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. No, in other words, the anointing. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell and great was its fall. So one of the areas that happens is when an individual has a great fall, it's because they didn't maintain discipline. Pride comes in, because the Bible says pride comes before a fall. And I want to close at Hebrews 5. Then they begin to practice lawlessness. It's amazing how many people you find out on the streets preaching Jesus to justify further use of drugs. I've seen it many times. They're out telling people about Jesus, and they're justifying themselves. When they go home and close the door, then they pull out the dope. Those are people that practice lawlessness. Are you listening? In Hebrews chapter 5, is everybody there? Start at verse 5. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him, who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he what? He what? He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of the eternal salvation to all who obey him. That's amazing to me. That just blows the theology of once saved, always saved, doesn't it? And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. So I want you to understand that obedience is also learned, isn't it? So in this walk of ours, we are disciplined. That is the path. If you maintain discipline, doesn't matter how you feel or what you think or what you believe, discipline is established by the command of God. He gives things. He sets things up. As long as you're disciplined to do those things he's given you to do, prayers and so forth, and then he'll meet you at a place. Because discipline will always lead you to the place where you change, because you can't change. Why? Because discipline causes you to sow in the Spirit so that you can reap life. Then you change and he begins to bring you to another place. And the more that you get closer to him, then he begins to release certain things so that by the Spirit you become obedient. And then an obedient life is established because you have a relationship with him. In other words, you obey him because you love him. No longer because you need to be disciplined. Because you love him. And you no longer have a life. Your life is the life of Christ. You are no longer fighting for your life. You are fighting for the life of Christ that is in you and flowing through you. Does everybody understand that? I'm telling you, you're going to see more and more stuff surface, not only in the body of Christ, but globally. We are in the end time. Time is running out. Things are happening. We must be vigilant Amen? In every area, we must be sober, we must be able to see, and we must be able to discern those things. And the only way that it's going to happen is by living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. It starts with discipline. It gets to obedience. And in that, God will move, and you will be blessed. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed to be your sons and daughters, to be rescued, to be known as the obedient. Thank you for rescuing us from the frozen chosen. And now we're free in the Spirit. Lord, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And let Jesus be glorified wherever we go and whatever we do, that a memorial can be left for your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.